Purple Lights, your podcast home for SFA sports talk. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SFA Sawmill or check us out at www.sfasawmill.com. Be sure to subscribe here so you don't miss an episode of Purple Lights. And now for the latest happenings on Lumberjacks and Lady Jacks, here's Isaac and Richard. Axum Jacks.
It's time again for Purple Lights, Lumberjack fans, and it is homecoming preview week. We are glad you're with us for your home for SFA Sports. This is Richard Boyer, and we will bring in now Isaac Niedrauer.
Hi, Richard. It's good to be talking to you again. We've had a little bit of a layoff, but I want to say, you know, usually before we get together to record these, we talk for a little bit about, you know, kind of what the plan is and what we're going to talk about, and we kind of have our pre-conversation. We didn't really get that opportunity because we're a little bit pushed for time here today, so you guys will get to hear a little bit of our pre-conversation, a little bit of our unfiltered banter about Southland Conference standings and Texas A&M against SFA basketball and kind of all of the above.
It'll be a little off-the-cuff edition of Purple Lights today. So what we're looking at here, and again, as we record this, it's another rainy day, but I have confirmed today that this weekend's football game, Homer Bryce Stadium, is supposed to be warm, sunny, supposed to get up in the upper 70s, maybe 80 degrees. No excuse not to go down and check out.
I know,
but that's what they said today.
Yeah.
No excuse to go down and not only catch the Lamar Cardinals and SFA Lumberjacks, but hopefully catch a tailgate edition of Purple Lights out in the tailgate area before the game. So we're going to try to do another one of those live broadcasts like we did at NRG Stadium. So come and find us. You'll hear the us talking SFA Sports out on the PA, and we'll be recording a podcast that we'll hopefully this time be able to get up and distribute to you if you're not able to catch it as we prepare for homecoming. And we'll both be down there, and look forward to seeing a lot of you and visiting with you down at the tailgate area at SFA.
Yeah, and come out a day early too, of course, because as most people know, basketball is doing their formerly midnight madness, yeah. Now Jack Madness, because it was a little weird having a midnight event at 8 o'clock out at Homer Bright or at William R. Johnson Coliseum, and we've got some basketball to talk about because kind of they played a game this week.
They kind of did, and we know probably a little more than we should about what happened there.
Yeah, so the secret, quote-unquote, secret scrimmages that happen every year, they're usually really locked down about what happened. And usually, you know, those who are close to the team and know the coaches can kind of conditionally get some idea of what went on. Well, this time, SFA had a little bit of a unique experience because Jeff Goodman, who's national basketball writer, college basketball writer, did the very unorthodox thing of tweeting out the box score. So, however he got clearance from whichever staff to do so, we have a final score between Stephen F. Austin and Texas A&M, and SFA beat the Aggies 76-72.
I tell you, this is this is feeding the excitement that it's hard not to get overly excited. It's hard not to set the bar and the expectations too high for what we have coming up this fall. But like I said, this didn't help at all seeing perennial NCAA tournament team, a very good Texas A&M team, not only play competitive but to get beat by the Jacks.
Well, we talk about some highlights, and the concerning one, of course, Aaron Augustin played just 6 minutes in the second half and appears to be dealing with an injury that we're working on trying to get some specifics on. But beyond, and of course this is already a very shorthanded team right now, but beyond that, big game from Kevon Harris. It was a defensive game. Of course, this is purely a box score analysis because we did not get to watch the game,
right?
But Kevon Harris had a big game, scored a 21 point second half, 25 for the entire game, or rather 26 for the entire game. Devontae Fitzgerald making, I guess, his uniform debut, put up a good solid 8 points second half with six in the first. So some good offense from Devontae, who, by the way, the former Aggie,
right,
started there under assistant head or assistant basketball coach there, Kyle Keller. Took a stint to Minnesota and then back to Texas at Stephen F. Austin. So it kind of made the long way back. But, you know, this is the box score. I kind of laughed and when I first read it, you know, kind of cracked up looking at these numbers, because this is such Kyle Keller basketball right here, yep. Right? Defensive game. They held the Aggies to 29 points in the first half. SFA, you know, goes into the half trailing by four. So they're in the game 32% from the floor.
I think the first part of that Kyle Keller would be proud to say is Kyle Keller basketball is the is the defensive part. And to be fair, that's one of the things that was one of the charges is when you're replacing Brad Underwood, you wanted to keep that intense defensive effort. And so you find someone who can do that, and you know, but what you want is you want to be able to you know, put the ball in the basket a little more, but we've seen this in the past with Kevon Harris getting streaky, getting hot, and you know, he has that ability to just light it up, and it sounds like he did that.
Yeah,
in the second
half. He got to the line. It really is what he did. I mean, and he shot better too. As a team, SFA shot almost 50% in the second half, so that was kind of more along the lines of what you'd hope.
Right.
But Kevon attempted 10 free throws in that second half, made 8 of them. So solid percentage, and that's where, you know, 8 of his points came from right there. So, yeah, I do think it's a sign of things to come. I think Kevon Harris is going to take on more of an offensive load we saw in the first half of last season when they were honestly better.
Yep.
He was battling some injuries later on in the season. I think we saw some of that. And then Shannon started slow last year. I still think that there's a good chance the offense is going to flow through him. But he didn't shoot well the other day. He put up some points. He put up 9 in the second half after a slow 3-point start. But, you know, what he did, though, is he doled out 6 assists. And when you're not shooting well and the ball's going through you, that's how you contribute to your team.
And what we've talked about so far, you know, you're not talking about the big man in the middle. You know, we haven't talked about Holyfield and how he played against what notably is bigger bodies inside.
Well, yeah. So and then TJ, of course, when he comes back, will be that. You know, obviously Devontae's filling in that,
yep,
role right now, and Jovan played a little bit in this game. But you're right. The greatest thing about this is you did this without arguably one of your best players.
That's exactly,
I mean, one
right.
of your probably top 2-3 players, maybe your best player, depending on how he matures his senior year.
Probably definitely the most, you know, one of the most experienced players, and someone who's, you know, it seems like we've been talking about TJ Holyfield for 4 years, 5 years already, but
right.
You know, definitely looking forward to him getting back on track, getting back healthy again. And you're right. I mean, who knows what would have happened with that. And so it is encouraging. At the very least, you know, you want to see this team start to come together with a bunch of new faces, along with the core that they've you know, had from last year. And you know, again, there's a lot to like about what we may see over at William R. Johnson Coliseum this year.
So, of course, that's Friday night this coming weekend.
8 o'clock.
For homecoming.
Yep.
That is the SFA Jack Madness, which will happen right, I guess, right preceding a Jesse McCartney concert. Well, go figure that.
I'm too old for that.
Well, that wasn't really my scene either.
Yeah.
But, that's all right.
You yeah, right then. Then they'll have the bonfire and the concert and that stuff right there in the intramural fields. Which hopefully have dried out a little. I know that SFA soccer had to play a game over at Nacogdoches High School this
Finally
week.
Finally won.
Because the intramural field, or I'm sorry, the soccer stadium was too soggy and drenched to play a competitive game on, which was a good move. Also, I guess we can touch on a 20-match win streak for SFA volleyball, which just continues to march on. and is just looks unstoppable right now and headed towards the Southland Conference tournament.
And the last time the Lady Jacks volleyball won 20 straight games was 2006, and they upset Alabama in the NCAA tournament.
Well, so. And you know, we're hoping for another Alabama upset sometime by SFA later this year. Yeah. And again, you know, phenomenal job by those ladies. Gosh, they haven't lost in 2 months.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it literally may have been August since they lost.
So then, of course, Saturday comes, and of course, we'll do our recording, and then we've got a football game, and this is now a 2-win SFA football team, a team that is, you know, we talked about this. Up to this point, it feels like this has kind of been, in a way, it almost feels like a funeral for this era of Lumberjacks football. Now, I hate saying that, considering they finally put together, you know, maybe, well, easily their best performance of the season. Beating
offensive
Houston
output, Battle. Yeah, absolutely.
And Jake Blumrick, who I have been personally critical of, and had a little spat with a family member during our live broadcast, for those who were on my Instagram live when all that went down, is suddenly proving people wrong. He looks, I won't say great, but
he was effective.
He's not the reason that the offense is lagging lately. At the very least, he's been an effective cog that, you know, is what a lot of Southland teams have won with. And suddenly, if Jake Blumrick is your starting quarterback next year, it doesn't look lost. I could see a scenario right now where, well, let's be honest, he's probably the favorite, right? You could bring in a freshman.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to start him.
No,
so
no.
Jake Blumrick is probably your guy next year right now, and the team seems to be buying in.
I definitely think those receivers are starting to, I think it's his team right now.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing
what
2 weeks can do, right? But, you know, Foster Sawyer has been disappointing this year. Some of that's not necessarily his fault, guy being off an ACL tear. Dealing with this offensive line as poor as it is, but he's looked gun shy. He has not been super accurate. And as sad as that is for a talent like Foster Sawyer, he's going to escape his collegiate eligibility without really having gotten a fair shot. And you could make the same argument about Jake Blumrick, but he's done more with it.
Well, and he's got another year to get his fair shot.
True.
And that's true. So, you watched the game, the Houston Baptist game down in Houston. The offensive line, I wouldn't say they're just, you know, they didn't play an all-conference game blocking for Blumrick, but they did okay.
Yeah.
And they gave Jake enough of a chance to get the job done. And, you know, again, they weren't – I don't know if this was the best defensive line they've gone up against, but you know what? I don't think.
Well, remember last year we talked about how Houston Baptist had this just phenomenal defense that got wasted, and it's because they had just the star-studded lineups of seniors. So in college, what happens, of course, when you have a season where you've got all seniors starting is that you have nobody starting. So that's kind of the defensive situation over there. But Houston Baptist had just lit up Southeastern team the week before, and then
scored a lot of points.
Right.
Yep.
A lot of points.
Yep.
50 plus, and then at home they can't do much against SFA.
No, and that's, boy, that's your saving grace and hope for a successful outcome this weekend, because you've got a Lamar team that has suddenly figured some stuff out. A Lamar team that runs the ball. They have two really strong running backs. They average over 200 yards a game on the ground. They don't average that much in the air.
Oh, wait. Let me clarify one thing, too. The Southland Conference leading Lamar Carr, or the Southland Conference leading team Incarnate Word just lost to Lamar Cardinals, who then turned around and beat
Sam
the
Houston.
Other Southland Conference leading team in Sam Houston State. So the last 2 weeks they've had back-to-back wins over first place team.
Yes, they have, and I texted you on Saturday and said, you know, the world's gone upside down.
Yeah.
McNeese loses to Incarnate Word,
mm-hmm.
and Lamar beats Sam Houston. You know, which is great for Central Arkansas. Now they're sitting there tied for first. There's a three-way tie.
Well, actually, okay, so I have to take one step back because there's a half-game separation between. So Incarnate Word, it's a mess at the top. We'll put it that way. Central Arkansas and McNeese technically tied with a 7-14 winning percentage. And then a half game back, you've got three more teams. That's Incarnate Word, Nichols, and Sam Houston. And then you're jumping all the way to 500, and that's where ACU stands. So you've got a jam at the top of the standings right now, and nobody is particularly great. Nobody expected Sam Houston to have three losses by now.
With a win against Lamar, SFA jumps to the middle of the pack.
Yeah,
crazy, which is crazy.
At 2-5.
Yeah. Well, if they win this, there's the 3-5, right?
Which they'll be tied with Lamar at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, and so with the victory over them, so
and
I mean that's
Southeastern sitting there at 3-5 now, and then basically you've got ACU, and that's it. Then you're back to those first place and first and a half place teams. So it's ridiculous.
So if you think about where so SFA sitting there at 2-5 right now with the on paper toughest part of the schedule behind them, without the canceled game that you think you might have won. Wouldn't you kind of expected them to be about here, you know, maybe except for the Incarnate Word game? Because on paper, at the beginning of the season, you would have expected them to be, right about where they would be.
Well, yes and no. I expected them to be here or maybe a little better
maybe
than
win
this.
One of the big
three.
Yeah.
But to be pretty much here. In the weeks before the season, in the months before the season, before the events of the summer,
sure,
I expected them to be contending for a conference title this year.
Before
or
the coaching
maybe to
situation,
sneak in, you know, as an at-large berth. And in hindsight, it is a massive missed opportunity that they weren't able to do that because this was the year that those players matured. This was the year that had been targeted for years to be the season. These other teams lost a lot of talent. And you've seen how it's manifested. The Southland Conference is incredibly mediocre right now. These teams are beating up on each other. Nobody really standing out. Central Arkansas probably right now looks like the best team. But you asked me a month ago, and I wouldn't have thought they would be anywhere close. So they're beating up on each other, and this would have been a fantastic opportunity to take a step forward if you had, you know, a veteran team that was ready to win. Clearly, that's not the case, and that's why I said it feels like, even though there's an opportunity to win a few of these games before the end of the season, this kind of feels like a program funeral right now.
And you're looking, you got homecoming with Lamar. By the way, that's probably wise scheduling. You know, at the beginning of the year, you think, oh, let's pick homecoming. We got Lamar coming in. That's a good chance for a win.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying Lamar the last couple weeks, and they put up points. And they put up points and they run. And SFA is a team that gives up around 167 yards a game on the ground on average, which doesn't bode well for a matchup against this. But we've seen teams that traditionally run the ball really well, like McNeese, that they do a good job of stopping. So the key for a couple keys to for SFA to win this game, they've got to keep that running game of Lamar in check. Lamar doesn't throw the ball particularly well. They don't light it up in the air, and so you know you've got to sell out to try to stop that run game. And on the other side of the ball, Lamar gives up a lot. They give up almost 300 yards a game in the air. So this is you know. For those receivers that we agree, we think are very good. This is a chance for Jake Blumrick to really make a statement by having a good game against a team that gives up yards and points in the air. And if they're unable to, and they're unable to stop Lamar on the ground, this could be a really bad game for SFA. If they're able to somewhat... you know, stay in the game offensively. I mean, this could be a. I think this is either going to be a bad day for SFA, or it's going to be a shootout that we're just going to have to outscore. Now, no one saw 42 points coming out of the offense that we've seen you know, SFA scoring 42 against Houston Baptist. They're going to need something like that this week to win. They're going to have to score in the 30s for sure, I think, to win this game.
Yeah, well, you know, and then there's the second question. Obviously, you want to see SFA win because you don't want to see Lamar win, no. You know, in the head-to-head. But, you know, what are we watching right now for next year? I mean, we won't really know the answer to that right until we see what the coaching situation shakes out to be. But we know that Jake Blumrick is probably your favorite.
I think that's exactly what you're watching. I think that's exactly what you're watching.
Okay.
And if you're at the game, that's what you watch because you want to see this. You want to see this quarterback progress, get his, and quite honestly, you know, make your mistakes now.
Yeah.
You know, in a season where you're not really going anywhere, if you have to make your mistakes, he may have already done that. He may be on the upswing of things, and that's what I'm hoping for because there is a really good chance that this is what we're seeing in 2019. And so let's find a way to make that work. Let's find a way to SFA has not had a great running game the last several games.
No,
they have not had much success.
They didn't have a good running game at all recently. I mean, they had a couple nice touchdown runs against Houston Baptist, but you go back before that and it had been really bad for them down the road.
Right. And so I think this is a game they throw the ball a lot because that's where other teams this year have had success against Lamar. I'm hoping we see a ton of Jake Blumwick throwing, and because I think that's going to be the key to winning this game is stopping their run, and us in the air, and hopefully featuring what we think are the you know as good a skill position players as there is in the conference.
Well, yeah,
Tamrick Pace.
We continue to say it.
And, yeah.
It'd be nice if they'd have a few more weeks like this last week to prove it.
If the weather holds up the way it's supposed to,
yeah.
and you know this might be a good showcase for that to finally get that on track, and you know hopefully there's a big crowd. I know there'll be a big crowd out in the tailgate area.
Yeah, well, a few more wins and maybe we'd see them in the stadium. But
yep that's
right. The way it goes, I guess. You know it. We are, you know, there is a reason to watch. It's the same reason that people watch preseason games in a way. These games do matter for pride. But more importantly than that, you know, we are watching the future here. And this is a team with a lot coming back next year, even though they're losing a bit.
Yes.
You know, some of the stars, the guy at quarterback, your receiving duo. I mean, these guys, there will be some talent here next year. And if Incarnate Word and Lamar have proven anything, it's that you can take a big step forward with a first-year head coach.
Right. We don't know what the coach situation is going to be next year. We don't know.
I think we'd both be surprised, though, if it stays stays with what it is. Right.
And we don't know if there's going to be an overhaul in systems or anything like that. What we do know is that there will be a fairly experienced quarterback here on the roster that probably should finish out this year and be the favorite for next year. You know, we're certainly hoping that you know they can run off a few victories here. You know, I think this. You know, you'd rather. I mean, you look at it. Lamar's no pushover right now. They score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points, and that's why I think this has a chance to be a real shootout, which will be potentially a really, really entertaining game.
Well, come hang out with us Saturday morning and get to be part of it with us.
We're going to try to get kicked off around 11:30 and go up until about 30 minutes before kickoff, and we'll go in the stadium. We hope the rest of the folks that are out in that area do too. And looking forward to a fun game. And watch for on SFASawmill.com, and if you follow the Sawmill on Twitter and things like that, Isaac will post a link so you can listen live if you're not, you know, if you don't happen to be in Nacogdoches. I know there was several folks that did that. We had a pretty good little audience going down in Houston, and And if you are, I mean, you can listen live, and until you get to the stadium, then come by and see us, and we will, we take periodic breaks. We're going to have some. I think we're going to have some guests on. Yep. I think that was one of the funnest aspects of our NRG stand. Once to really get you a feel of the tailgate area getting cranked up or turned up or
yeah, it'll
getting
be
lit.
It'll be turnt again this weekend. So.
For sure, especially, I mean, it's always a fun time, there. I've been there the last few years for homecoming, and, definitely come by and see us and get in the stadium, help the Jacks, because I think they're going to be able to pull this one off, but I think it's going to be a really high-scoring game. Should be entertaining, and we hope there's a great crowd out there.
Looking forward to it.
All right, anything else we need to cover here?
We'll probably talk about it in a couple days. We'll have some little more basketball to have watched, and maybe we'll.
I've never seen so much hype over posters, by the way. The poster release.
Some pretty cool posters, but they're
granted they are cool. They are cool.
Hopefully I actually collected those in my old place. Had them on the had each of the.
I'm hoping to come home from Nacogdoches this weekend with a couple.
Yeah,
definitely. But boy, they hyped them for a week before.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we will see you in Nacogdoches. Listen to us, come see us, and we will be right back next week recapping the homecoming game and looking forward to the rest of the season with a lot more emphasis moving towards the SFA basketball, Lumberjacks, and Lady Jacks. And we will see you again next week. And this is Richard.
This is Isaac.
Axum Jacks.
Axum Jacks.